everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. on CalBanyan.com. If you're watching this video anywhere except CalBanyan.com, you want to go there right now because right below this video, right down there, what we got, more text, more graphics, more information, links, all that kind of stuff that just makes this video so much more valuable. Let me look at my clipboard here because I have a plan for every single podcast. Ah, did you know that this is the four in a row? It's like a grand slam with Celeste Hackett from Plano, Texas. One of my favorite co-hosts. She was my first co-host. She took a little sabbatical and now she's back. And let's see, it's Plano, Texas. She has her own hypnosis office out of her home. And she also is a trainer, a certified professional hypnosis training instructor. She teaches my courses out there, which is the NGH approved Banyan Hypnosis Certification Super Course, the 5-Path and 7-Path Self Hypnosis. And she is an award winning hypnotist. She has won the 5-Pathers Hypno 1%er Award and the National Guild of Hypnotists Member of the Year Award and other awards. She writes for our e-zine, and gosh, I'm just so proud to have her on the show. How you doing, Celeste?
Hey, Cal, I'm doing fine. I'm really enjoying being back on the podcast with you, and I want to tell everybody about you because nobody does more for hypnotists than you do. You're just this world-famous figure among hypnotists, and people fly in from all over to train with you. And if you Google something about hypnosis, for sure, on that page that you land, you're going to see Cal Banyan talking about something somewhere. He's just everywhere. And his ambition has always been to train hypnotists in such a way that they enter into the 1% top of the field. And he probably trains more full-time hypnotists than anybody else. He's also created just wonderful training materials for hypnotists, wrote many books. He's working on another book right now. I get to be in it. I'm so excited about that. And, of course, he's the creator of 5-Path, probably best known for that. 5-Path stands for 5-Phase Advanced Transformational Hypnosis, and it's a process that hypnotists can use to transform their clients. It's just incredible. And most people who know Cal know 5-Path and are just awed by it and him. And also he developed 7th Path, which is something he has always said he's most proud of. And he's just a wonderful all-around hypnotist, a wonderful all-around guy, and just more growing more incredible every day. I think he's revolutionizing hypnosis, and when the history books write about hypnotism in this age, Cal's going to be on probably every page.
Oh, my gosh. I think you're going a little bit over. Oh, boy. Hey, so what are we going to do today? Oh, wait,
embarrass
before we
you
get into
more.
The topic for today, well, tell him what the topic's going to be.
Well, first, I'm going to embarrass you some more. I'm just kidding. I got this topic from one of my students, actually. I can't remember which one it was, but I thought it would be interesting to talk about. And this is how it goes. It's about aversion techniques, because we don't really talk a lot about that. He wanted to understand more about aversion techniques and to know if there's ever a time when aversion techniques are useful. This particular student said he'd heard that they are unprofessional, and some people even say they're unethical, and he wanted to know, is that always the case with aversion techniques, and what your thoughts are on it, Cal?
All right, so there's our topic, and I'm going to do my very best to answer that, and Celeste is going to chip in. And as always, if you agree or disagree or simply have something to add, what I'd love you to do is just leave a comment down below, because heck, Celeste and I, you know, we don't know everything, and our opinions are not the only valid opinions, so please go ahead and do that. But before we get into that, I want to, we've drawn another name for another hypno mug. Celeste, tell them how they can get in on the drawing for their hypno mug.
Yeah, you gotta win a hypnosis mug from Cal Banyan. And here's how you get your name in the hat to win a mug. What you wanna do is you wanna go to Facebook.com/hypnosis, etc. And then like us. And then the other website where you can get your name in the hat is CalBanyan.com. Just become a VIP member and your name will automatically be in the hat. And then you could be the winner of one of these beautiful mugs.
Beautiful. In addition to just being having your hat and your name, right? The name and the hat, one of those two, for getting the mug, when you become a VIP member, you get a link to a special page that has a list of titles of every single podcast we've ever done. And each one of those titles is linked to the podcast. So if you're interested in learning about, I don't know, hypnosis and sports, hypnosis and kids, marketing hypnosis, age regression, forgiveness, whatever it is, you can just look down that list, or actually you could do a search in your browser for that page for keywords, and boom, there you've got it. You could even start at the very beginning and just start going through all the podcasts. So, gosh, I just wish I would have had something like that at my disposal when I first started in the profession. All right, here it is. Here's the name. Drum roll, please.
Bing.
All right, bada bada bing. Ha. Dale, D-A-L-E, Bush, B-U-S-H. Must be from Texas.
Must be.
A lot of bushes out there, I think. Or at least
yes.
A lot of bush stuff. I know
and
there
very
used
short
to be a lot
trees.
Of bush whackers. But anyway, Dale Bush. If you're Dale Bush, how do you get your cup? Just go to calbanion.com. Up at the top there, you know what there is? There is a link that says contact us. Click on that and then fill out the form with your contact information. Please give us your phone number also because we might want to talk to you. I don't know why, but whatever information we need to validate that you that are actually Dale Bush, and we can get your cool mug off to you. It could look like this mug or this mug or this mug, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be a very cool hypnosis mug. Oh, wait, and there's another one, the one that we decided to give to Celeste Hackett. This is one of my favorites, too. Look at that. It's got the hypno spiral on there. See? And then it's got that, and it's got that. So it's all very cool, and there you go. So all you got to do is get signed up, and I don't know how long we're going to do that. Might be another week or two, could be months. I'll just see how it goes. All right, now back. Remind everybody of the question.
Wait a minute, I want to say something to Dale. Dale, every time you sip from that mug, you will become more professional as a hypnotist. So keep sipping. I think that's so cool that you're doing that, Cal. I loved it. You know, years ago when we first started this, when it was just you and me back in the old days, I said you needed to give away prizes. Remember that?
And I think
so
I did.
Yeah, way back when, because I was, you know, I used to be a radio announcer. We always got people to listen with prizes, so I'm so excited that you're doing this.
I wish we were more organized. We could do a call-in show.
I know. I wish we could do that. That'd be so fun.
I think we did a live show once or twice. But anyway, let's get back to the important stuff, and that is getting good information out there. Because you and I, we're such good friends, we could just ramble on and visit for 20 minutes.
Indeed, and we need to talk about aversion techniques, because that's when we were getting rolling on that, and then we took a turn. But listen, a lot of people want to know, should they do aversion techniques? Can they do aversion techniques? How do you do aversion techniques? Is it unprofessional? Is it unethical? Is there ever a time when they make sense? So basically, it's going to be about aversion techniques today.
Now, what do you think this individual means by aversion techniques?
That is a good question, because this came up in the class, and if I recall, they wanted to know, they had a friend who was doing stop smoking and with a client, saying that the cigarettes, if they ever smoked a cigarette again, it would make them very, very sick, and they would puke. When you talk about aversion techniques, you talk about a lot of gross stuff that you have to think, you have to pair something that you find disgusting with the behavior that you no longer want to do. You help the client to do that. And so he was just, that's what he meant by it. You know, is it proper? Is it ethical to have somebody think of, say, chocolate? But when they think of chocolate, all of a sudden they see something else or smell something else or they taste something else, like feces, perhaps?
Oh, all right. Yeah. So, personally, I don't use aversion techniques. I haven't had a need to do that. So, basically, everything Celeste, well, not basically, exactly everything that Celeste said is true. So, what they the aversion techniques didn't start with hypnosis. They're really a product of the area of psychology where you think about pairing things together in time and associating them in the mind. And so what they might do is show somebody something that they like and then pair it with something that is noxious or that is unpleasant and try to create that negative association in the mind. Now, of course, this is done much more powerfully in hypnosis if you want to do that. So I don't use it. I'm not going to say it's unethical, but I'd say it's unnecessary. What I like to do rather is to find out why the client wants to change, and you know, what's in it for you, what's the benefit, and what's going to happen if you don't change. More of the carrot and stick kind of thing. But I don't really use a stick. What I do is I find out what is their life going to be like if they don't change. Now, for example, in the hypnosis script, the high road and low road, what I will do in the direct suggestion portion of 5-Path is I'll tell the client we're now coming to a fork in the road of your life where you can either choose to keep doing what you've been doing or that you can take the high road and change. Now, doing what you've been doing is like taking the low road. Now, the low road is easy. It's kind of downhill, but the problem is it doesn't take you where you want to go. The high road on the right takes some effort because it is the high road, but it does take you where you want to go. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take them to 3 places on that low road. And I know because I've had them fill out some paperwork and I've also talked to them about why they want to change. What's the benefit for it for them? What's the negatives for them if they don't change? What's motivating them to make the call, to come in, to undergo hypnosis? So I can say, okay, in a moment count from 1 to 3, when I get to 3, you're going to be a certain amount of time. And that certain amount of time varies according to the clients. If I'm dealing with younger clients, I want to do a shorter periods of time. Or even less mature adults, I want to deal with a shorter period of time because they tend to be more interested in immediate results. So like I might say, the moment count from 1 to 3, and we're going to go down this low road 3 months. 1, 2, 3. There you are. 3 more months of continuing to blank. And I fill in the blank. Continuing to smoke too much or drink too much or eat too much or whatever too much behavior it is. And or not doing it enough behavior. Continuing to be shy or continuing to hold back. Continuing not to engage fully. Continuing to not do your homework. And so what happens is I now take them to this event X amount of days, weeks, or months down the road. And I'll say something like, there you are. How do you feel now having to been out of control? Let's say, for example, to chocolate. Since Celeste brought up chocolate, I wouldn't do some kind of negative, noxious stimuli like saying, now chocolate tastes like poo-poo. I wouldn't do that. But do I say, now I'm going to count from 1 to 3. 3 months later, here you are. 3 more months out of control to chocolate. Do you look better? Do you feel better? Do you feel smarter? Are you more confident? Look in the mirror. How do you look? How do you feel? And what happens is they feel bad. Now, you say, but that's noxious. I say, well, it's different because what I'm doing is I'm making real the future that they are developing for themselves. It's not some artificial noxious stimuli like saying chocolate now tastes like feces or smells like feces whenever you see it. Those suggestions tend to wear off anyway or come up at really wrong times years later. So what we do is they have them going there 3 months down the road, continuing to gain weight, still feeling out of control, still hiding the chocolate, being embarrassed, feeling guilty. See, this is what they're creating for themselves. And then I might say, let's go 6 more months down the road. 1, 2, 3. There you are, 6 more months down the road of being out of control of chocolate. Look in the mirror. How do you feel? How do you look? Are you smarter? And now what I'm going to do, one of my favorite things to do at this point is I'll say, now, look at that candy bar. Mmm, eat that candy bar. Do you feel smart? Is it worth it? Really taste that chocolate. Mmm, there you are. Look in the mirror with that chocolate bar in your mouth. Do you feel more confident? Do you feel more lovable? Do you feel smart? Do you feel sexy or strong? Mmm, how's that chocolate taste now? And so what I'm doing is I'm associating the chocolate with where it is really taking them in life. And I'll probably repeat that one more time to still another event. Moment count for 1 to 3, and we go 1 year down the road. 1, 2, 3, there you are. There you are, 1 year more of being out of control to chocolate, eating too much chocolate. How do you feel? Look in the mirror. Do you look slimmer? Do you feel smarter? And these negative feelings they have about the future they've been creating themselves can highly motivate the individual. And what happens is then what we've done is attached reality, not some noxious artificial stimulus, but the reality as they best perceive it to be, to the either the behavior or the substance that they're trying to get away from. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, okay, I'm count from 1 to 3 back to 1. We go back to the beginning of the road because none of that's happened yet. All the insights remain, but none of that's happened yet. We're going to go up the high road, 3, 2, 1. And then I take them up the high road of success where I go 3 months, 6 months, a year, for example. And they I go, there you are, 3 months without. Where chocolate's no more a big deal in your life. If you take it, you can leave it. In fact, you eat very little of it. Now you look in the mirror. How do you feel now? Do you look better? Do you feel smarter? Okay. Now overeating chocolate is just simply something you used to do. It will take them to 6 months more. 6 months, there they are. Look in the mirror. How do you feel now? Taking back control of your life. Feeling slimmer, healthier. Maybe your skin is clearing up if that was an issue. How do you feel now? Chocolate is simply something you used to do. Then I'll go the 1 year, for example. Could be any time period that makes sense, depending on the client you work with. 1, 2, 3, there you are. Another year. It's like chocolate hardly even comes into your mind anymore. You can take it or leave it. You actually eat very little of it, if any at all. And you feel so good about yourself. Look in the mirror. How do you look? How do you feel? Do you feel smarter or not? So what I'm doing now is I'm taking the desire for chocolate and I'm really pushing it down by associating it with the natural outcome of eating too much chocolate. But it could be alcohol abuse. It could be a cocaine abuse. I remember one person came in for cocaine abuse and we're going down this road. And when I got to like a year later, I asked him, so there you are, 1, 2, 3. Are you above ground? Because this person, in their mind, they're thinking, I'm going to die. This is what they told me ahead of time. If I keep this up. And they said no. And I'd say, well, how does your family feel about that? And so on. So the low road squashes the desire for the old behavior. And then the high road associates positive reinforcement, positive expectation, and positive feelings towards the new behavior. So I prefer that much more. And you can look that up. I'll put a link below to the Universal Script. I know we've done podcasts on it also, and when I've done an article or two on it, and I think that's a much better alternative than some kind of artificially associated or hypnotically suggested noxious aversion therapy. Anything you want to add to that?
No, I love that. You know, I love the Universal Script. Most of us call it now for some reason. It's we all call it the high road, low road script, but I've never really heard you talk about it quite like that. And I really am going to love teaching that to my students. I like tying the negative feelings down the low road to whatever is causing, you know, whatever they're wanting to get over. And would you consider that still aversion or not?
No, when we talk about aversion, we're really thinking about taking something that is kind of artificial. It's saying, now chocolate smells like poop. Now your fingernails, you can't bite them because we associate it with, you know, some nasty tasting stuff. So this is more like, you know, adding reality. It's more of a reality technique to where see, part of the reason that people are engaged in these self-destructive behaviors is they kind of segment reality from the behavior. It's like, this time, if I do it now, it doesn't matter. I'll change later. Or they somehow fantasize that it's not going to affect them like it's affected others. So when we take them down the low road, we take them up the high road in this universal script, it really kind of, in a nice way, rubs their nose in the reality of what they're doing.
Very good. And just keep in mind, like Cal said, these aversion techniques, these suggestions, these negative suggestions you give your clients that you pair up with the behavior that they don't want to do, oftentimes they just wear off and they're not effective for very long. You want to really get at the cause of the problem and fix it, you know, because this is sort of a Band-Aid technique, really. And as Cal said, sometimes it can come up later on when they don't want it to come up, some of those bad feelings.
You mean the aversion.
Yeah, the aversion. I was trying to think of an instance that I'd heard of. I can't think of one. Do you remember hearing any?
I've heard of clients where they've talked about, they go, you know, the hypnotist said that for whenever I smoke a cigarette, it's going to make me feel nauseous. And then they found out that even though they didn't quit smoking using that technique, later on they quit smoking maybe with a different technique or through sheer willpower or whatever. And then later on, years later, they get around cigarettes, or they even look at cigarettes like in a store, and they feel that nausea kind of come up from that old suggestion. And, you know, who wants to go? We don't want to go around feeling nauseated just by looking at a pack of cigarettes if we're over the cigarette habit. You know, we want to be empowered. That's the problem with aversion techniques, is they tend to be disempowering.
And imagine, one day you're at a restaurant, somebody brings out a beautiful brownie a la mode, and then you get sick at your stomach and it looks like something else. That's no good. I don't want to give up brownies and chocolate for the rest of my life.
There you go. We're in the business of empowering clients.
Yeah. But do keep in mind that sometimes you'll have clients come in and they'll beg you for this kind of stuff. So you really have to have something to say so that they realize they're going to get something better. And what I usually tell them is, we have something far more powerful than that. Do you ever have clients like really ask you, oh, my friend got this, their hypnotist caused them to get sick every time they smoked a cigarette, so they couldn't smoke a cigarette. Could you do that to me or for me? Have you ever had anyone come in like that, Cal?
Oh, gosh. No, I haven't. But if someone really demanded aversion and I really wanted to help the person, I'd probably say, okay, and then just do high road, low road, and they would. You see, the problem is clients say stuff and they don't know what it means. Like, they come in and say, I have a phobia, when they don't have a phobia. Or they say, I'm depressed, when they're not really clinically depressed. And they might say, aversion technique, when they don't really know what aversion technique is. So I'll say, you know, we'll give you suggestions so that you're going to be so motivated to not do the thing, but we're also going to go after the cause, which is, in our experience, the very best way to get long-lasting results. And then we do 5-PATH.
Yeah. And 5-PATH is the bomb. It is so amazing. You have to learn it. By the way, Cal's got some classes coming up where he's teaching, and I do too. April, let's see, the 8th through the 19th, to go to Dallas Hypnosis Career Training. And then I also have another class coming up October the 14th through the 25th of this year, 2013. So join us and learn how to do the real good stuff. Then you don't have to settle for these aversion techniques, these Band-Aid techniques. Right, Cal?
Right. You know, it's so funny because I remember I first started doing these podcasts and giving out all this great information. I would get, once in a while, there'd be a hypnotist say, how can you give out all this free information? You know, you're giving out more information on your website than I give out my whole class. And I say, listen here, you know, the stuff we give out on a podcast, it's just these little 20-minute segments. That's nothing compared to what they're going to get if they spend a whole 7 to 10 days with us. So, and I don't get so much hate mail as I used to. Like, they've given up on me. But some trainers out there would really. I remember, I even got punched once in the shoulder by a jealous hypnotist. And it's like, get over it, man. What you send out there comes back to you. And and I had another one kind of, you know how sometimes guys will walk into the other person in the hallway and bump shoulders? It's like, grow up. This isn't junior high. Just send out the good stuff and the good stuff will come back. All right. Hey, just in case, I will quickly read through our last four cup winners. Donna Richard, Kevin Smullen, Jody Shaw, and Dale Bush. If you haven't already heard, you are a Hypno Mug winner. All right, wrap it up.
All right, well, it's been wonderful being with you, and I guess Meredith Locker will be taking over next to give Cal a hard time. They always do wonderful podcasts together, so you have to say hey and comment and question them whenever they're together next time. But I'm Celeste Hackett. This has been Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Celeste. So nice to have had these last four podcasts with you. And, of course, let's not make it so – see if we can get together sooner. With all the holidays, I think it kind of causes us to slow up and have a lot of space in between your last four podcasts. All right, this is Cal Banyan. Please visit calbanyan.com and also facebook.com/hypnosisETC. Friend us, fan us, and you'll be on the inside track, all the commotion that we have here going on the calbanyan.com and Eye of Training January 21st. Gosh, that's coming right up. It's a couple weeks away. And then we have April 22nd and we have July 15th. Of course, there's always discounts for early registration. Then we have the Week of Power, which is exactly the same course, except we don't spend a lot of time on the basics because it is for people who are already certified. And so we can trim a couple of days off the class three, exactly. All right, that's it. Hypnobell, Cal Banyan, signing off.
This recording is a property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.